Amen. It's good to see each one tonight, and I appreciate what's gone before. There in John chapter 11, where Brother Kevin read, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died." You know, she was right. I don't recall of any instance where somebody died in Jesus' presence. Am I right on that?
Yes.
But also, as Brother Kevin mentioned, there are things that need to die, that other things would replace them. Even in that text there, John chapter 11, when he would ask, "Where have you laid him?" And they would say, "Come and see." Jesus wept. And the Jews would say, "Behold how he loved him." How he loved him. The love of God. Oh, books have been written, volumes. We have a hymn in our book, "The Love of God." I can't quote it exactly, but I think it refers to the oceans as being an inkwell and the skies, the very parchment to describe the love of God. Jesus wept because he loved Lazarus. Amen?
Amen.
I think he wept because of the sorrow that he saw in the lives of those that loved him, his sisters, the others. I think he also wept because he knew what Lazarus would have to endure even after he raised him from the dead.
Right.
You'll find very shortly after that point, he became a target.
Yeah.
And actually to the same extent that Jesus was a target. They set out to kill him because there was something manifested in his life that could not be denied. The love of God. And brothers and sisters, I submit to you tonight that there's something in our lives today, in the child of God, that cannot be denied by the world in which we live. And it's the love of God. But the struggle, and I confess I've been there a lot of times, the struggle is to be reminded of that.
Yes.
And then not only to be reminded, but to act upon it. I find in 1 John chapter 4, don't have to go there if you don't like. I'm going to hit a few very familiar verses. Verse 7, just to jump in, John would say, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." I'm encouraged already. I think I love God. How dare you, Brother Ken? How dare could you say you think you love God? Well, you see, I don't know that I love him all that I know how yet, or to what degree I should, and I want to love him more. Verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." I was a grown man before I knew what that word meant, propitiation. It just means it's satisfied.
Amen.
It's finished. It's fulfilled. It's perfect. God loves us all together.
Amen.
This might rub some people the wrong way. God loves you as much as he's ever going to love you right now. The reason it rubs us wrong is because I want some more love. Okay? Who in the house doesn't like to be loved on? Some to our detriment. Some folks love to be stroked, and that you understand what I mean. Here it is, love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and provided all things necessary for us. Can I say in this life and the life to come? Do you believe that? "Beloved, if our God so loved us," verse 11, "we ought also love one another."
Amen.
An ought there, I like over there in John 13 where it says, you washed one another's feet. I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I like that because that word ought is just short of thou shalt. It's a real strong should.
Yes.
When we see the word ought. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his spirit. I'm encouraged. I've felt that from time to time. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. I'm encouraged. Because I love the tense of that. It doesn't tell me that there's going to come a day when God is going to dwell in me and all this will be wonderful. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth right now. In fact, has been already, for you said that. And now, and most likely will continue. Wow. We have known and believed the love of God that God hath had to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. John is just going back and forth on the subject of love. Why? It must be important. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Ooh, okay. The day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. The day of judgment. That gets people stirred as well, doesn't it? The day of judgment. I believe there's coming a final day of judgment. Don't you?
Yes,
I do. But I believe every day, to a degree, we all come before the throne of God in judgment. Oh, but he loves us. Remember? He loves us. And because that judgment, we shouldn't be bent out of shape. Because we know he chastens them that he, what? Loves? There's something else, too, about this thing called love. Verse 18, there's no fear in love. Remember my comment earlier about I'm not sure if I love God as I should. Well, the reason is I've been fearful in my life. But there's no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Okay, I get it. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Wow. Wow. Had my kids memorize that one when they were little. It's pretty easy to memorize. We love him because he first loved us. A lot of good preaching on that side, right? Is everybody in the house kind of familiar with that concept that we love God because he first loved us? Meaning that that we wouldn't love God if he didn't love us first because of where we were and what we were in Adam. And then that miraculous thing called the new birth happens to us, and I don't understand it as I want to. And now there's this thing bubbling up inside, and we know we're in God because we love the brethren. We love him because he first loved us. Hang on to all that. And turn with me now to Psalm 116. And I want to just read it all and make a few comments as we go. We've got to remember that God loves us and the kind of love that he has for us, or we'll wither away in this life. Psalm 116 is a psalm. I'm not sure who wrote it. I'm not sure if David wrote it. It would be fitting if he did. I'm not sure who wrote it, but I'm satisfied it's someone that wrote it that had been through much difficulty, and yet he was aware of God's love for him. Don't forget 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us, but I love the way this Psalm 116 starts out. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. You see, I think the writer here is able to say it this way. I love God, the Lord, because he already is one of his own. And he's laying hold of that love. He's pulling on that anchor to see if it's holding. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications. This writer speaking from life, from experience. Experience doesn't always teach us best. I think, Brother Kevin, you mentioned that last Sunday at Shiloh. Experience is not always the best teacher. Because some experiences are just really don't need that. But these are experiences. You've heard my voice and my supplications. Look at verse 2. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The writer of this psalm has had experience of God answering his prayer. And because of that, he's going to stick with it. He's going to stay with it because, not just because it works. Sometimes I do that. I stay with it because just because it works. And then one day it's worn out. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. All my days. Just real quick, just to jump over to Psalm 63, that same sentiment is given us here. This one is written by David. Psalm 63, 1 and 2. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. In a dry land and thirsty land where no water is. Do you get the idea that David is in pursuit of God? His love to see thy power and see thy glory as I've seen thee in the sanctuary. The same kind of thing here in Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard me. He's heard me. Verse 3, the sorrows of death compassed me. Notice the tense there. The writer here is saying something has happened to me in the past, compassed, past tense. It circled me, compassed. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me, and I found trouble and sorrow. You see, that those things are associated with death. That's why Mary and Martha and others were so troubled, because they were at a place of death. But I love the Lord because he's heard my voice and my supplications. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. He went there, or was brought there, and that's what he found. But read on. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. In this troublesome place, then I call upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Pretty simple, isn't it? God help me, or I'm going down. Ever been there? Anybody want to raise your hand on that? God help me, I'm going down. Oh, I don't see too many hands going up. Trust me, you'll be there one day. It's actually a good thing. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. Well, I raise my hand on that one because I am one simpleton. Aren't you glad it's that way, though? There's not. I wish I could quote that passage that Paul said, not many wise, not many rich. How's it go? Not many mighty. It also reminds me of, just came to mind, Jeremiah chapter, if I could turn there and find it real quick. I won't waste too much time. Jeremiah. Oh, my goodness. No, I won't waste too much time. I can't call it up. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. And when the Lord helps, it's more than, hey, buddy, you need a lift to your next spot. When the Lord helps, it's called being saved. It's being delivered. He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. It's almost like he's talking to himself here. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. It's okay to feel safe in the arms of the Lord. Kevin and I were cutting up on the way over here talking about the term safe space, safe spaces. I'll save that for another time. Safe spaces, my Lord. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. And the writer maybe is speaking of his own near death. Perhaps David was one that was near death on a number of occasions. He may have been referring to being delivered from the death of those around him. We need delivering from that too, don't we?
Yeah.
For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Wow. Wow. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What would be the opposite of that? What would be the option, the alternative be dead in the land of the dead, walking dead. I believed, verse 10, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Yeah, I struggle with that verse. Why would he say in haste, all men are liars, when we know that's so? Being too quick to judge the situation, not knowing what the Lord may have at hand. Lord, if you'd been here, our brother had not died. Misjudgment. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? In the midst of this grief and difficulty, in death itself, hear the writer saying, the Lord's delivered me. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? What would you give to pay back what he's done for you? The answer is, how about your life? You don't have enough money. You don't have enough stuff. Everyone in the world that's ever lived doesn't have enough stuff to make that payment, right? What do we have to give but our own lives? Is that not something we read about in the New Testament? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, not a dead one. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I remember having fun with that word reasonable. It means it's a fair price. It's a good deal. Reasonable. We go to the buffet and have the meal and come out. Wow, it was only $10.99. That's reasonable. Do we have that kind of idea towards our service to God being reasonable? Well, think about, just consider what he's done for us. For all of his benefits. Verse 13, I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. How do we do that? How do we pay our vows? Does that mean lining up and people see you put money in the plate? Is that what that means? Or could it be more simple? Could it be gathering together like we are here tonight? And we sing, and we worship, and we pray, and we call upon God to save us in our hour of need. Which, by the way, there's 24 hours in the day. And I need saving every one of them. Amen? Amen. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Then there's that verse 15. We always pluck it out and use it at the funeral graveside. Precious is in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. We're bought. We're owned. We're precious. God loves us. Don't forget who owns you. That shouldn't make you itch when we discover that we're owned of God. You know, how did Paul put it? I just thought of this one in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think, verse 20, verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What shall we render? Our lives. precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I think that's true, certainly, when one of his children pass on and leave this world. I think it's also true when, like Brother Kevin touched on, when God's children die to themselves, that is precious in the sight of God. When he sees one of his children get it, okay, if you want to use that kind of language, and they finally come to the place where they have to call out and say, I can't do it by myself. I've got to have help. I've been there. Have you? It's a good feeling to find out that God loves you so much that he'll lift you up out of that place. It's promised to us. Does it happen when we want it? No. Never. I don't think it's ever happened like that. But in God's time, 22 years in the case of Joseph. Oh, Lord, verse 16, back in our text. Oh, Lord, truly I am thy servant. Can you say those words with me tonight? I'm not asking you to. If you want to, fine. But can you say those words? Oh, Lord, truly I am thy servant. If he bought and paid for you and you belong to him, I'm kind of thinking you are. The question is, to what degree and what way and how much and oh, the woods are full of it. It's just, oh Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Amen. I found out. I learned. I heard one day. I heard a long time ago. I heard God loves you. Jesus died on the cross for you, atoned for all your sins. Not just the ones you committed up until that night you said something down there at the revival meeting. No. All those, but then all these. And all those. That's marvelous. That's scandalous. That's amazing grace. And it's a sweet sound, and I think God's people can hear it. Don't confuse me on that. Don't be confused by that. I'm not talking about hearing the gospel. I'm talking about, I think God's people hear that, know that sound when they hear it. God's love. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. That's a sacrifice to give God thanks. And we'll call upon the name of the Lord. That's future tense. That's now and tomorrow. I will call. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Back in, should have left a finger in. First John chapter 5 there, didn't read on far enough, but verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him, that beget, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Our love for one another is an evidence of God's love in us. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how to end this other than to say, we can make it. Okay, there's a lot of crazy things going on in the world right now. The majority of it is just noise. Don't let it beat you up. Don't let it drown out that still small voice that tells us day by day, I love you. You're mine. I'm going to keep you. May God bless you. It's our prayer. Amen.